You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Mountain City Church. In this series, Acts to the End of the Earth, we walk through the book of Acts to see God's work to build his church on the foundation of the gospel of Christ.
Well, again, good morning and happy new year. It's nice to see. Good morning. Yeah. My name is Marty. I have the privilege of serving here at Mountain City Church, and also have the joy of sharing with you this morning from the Word of God. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6. We've been in the book of Acts now for a few months. So if you want to open your Bibles to chapter 6, we'll be starting at the beginning of that chapter this morning. It is great to see so many of you here. I know there are so many who are dealing with sickness. There are many who have who are not able to be here today that would want to be here today. So if you're watching on the live stream, good morning to you guys as well. Acts chapter 6. Let us read this together, and then we'll dive in looking to see what God has for us this morning. Let's read this together. Now, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose among the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again just that we are able to gather together in your name. Father, we thank you that we are able to study your word together, that we are able to preach this boldly without the fear of persecution. Father, as we are looking at this passage today, as we are looking at your word today, help me to teach it rightly. Help us to hear it rightly through your Spirit. And through that same Spirit, may we respond to it rightly. Can Father just bless our time together as we seek to glorify you in all that we do. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So for some of the youth group that are here, don't worry, I'm not going to make you do anything. We've already been going through the book of Acts. So they, if I wanted, they could preach this better than me probably. So don't worry, I'm not going to make you guys come on. So we've been going through Acts. So we've looked at this chapter together already, which is exciting. But as we're going through, as we as a church are going through, I want to catch us up. It's been a little bit. Some of us maybe haven't been here for this whole series. So in verse 1, here in chapter 6, is now when the disciples, they were increasing in number, this complaint came up. Well, I had to do a little math. I was curious. It says, and the full number was assembled. Well, if we've been looking back, at Pentecost, we saw that there were a number that became believers and were baptized that day, about 3,000. And then in chapter 4, after some things happened, it says, the number is about 5,000. And then at the after Ananias and Sapphira, after that whole incident of them lying and them literally falling dead because of their lies before the apostles as they were lying to God, it says there were more believers, even more believers were added to the Lord after this. So this number of believers in Jerusalem, it keeps growing and growing and growing. The church is growing and growing and growing. And then they have this big old meeting of all the disciples coming together. So that's one thing. So that is when all the numbers were together, we're seeing this giant group of believers are assembling together. Now, this isn't the first time a complaint has been brought up against the early church. This is this complaint from the Hellenists here. They were complaining that the widows were not their widows. The Greek widows were not being taken care of. Again, the Hellenists, those would have been Greek-speaking Jews. They were Jews. They were followers of Jesus here. But they're like, hey, as the needs are being taken care of, our widows are not being taken care of. Our widows are not being taken care of. And there could have been several reasons why. Maybe there was the language barrier, you know, the Hebrew-speaking and the Greek-speaking early believers, maybe. Maybe there was favoritism. Maybe they just simply forgot. Okay, so there's a number of reasons why, but the complaint comes out, and the apostles are like, okay, let's take care of this. Let's take care of this. And so they summoned everyone together and says, it is not right that we, the apostles, should give up preaching the word of God to go and serve tables. Therefore, let us pick out 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, who will appoint to this duty. And the disciples, the early followers are like, yeah, this seems like a good idea. This seems like a good idea. Now, again, like I said, this isn't the first time we've seen opposition come against the church. Even in chapter 2, at Pentecost, you know, everyone's preaching the word of God, and the crowd's like, they're drunk. These people are crazy. Like, no, we're not drunk. And then they give this big message about how Christ needed to come. And we see the Holy Spirit cuts them to the heart, and they say, what shall we do? What shall we do? This opposition says, these guys are drunk. We're not drunk. They preach the gospel message. The crowd hears it. The crowd responds, and it says, and then that day, 3,000 were saved. Then in chapter 4, see, we're doing kind of review and explaining. In chapter 4, we see, and in chapter 3 and 4, like, Peter and others are told to stop preaching. Stop preaching. They're threatened. They're arrested. They're told to stop preaching. And they're basically like, we can't but preach the things of God. And so they continue to preach, and we see the church continue to grow. I said Ananias and Sapphira, we get these people that sold land but kept some and said they gave all. They lied, and we saw that the Lord struck them down and they died. But at the end of this, in chapter 5, verse 11, it says, and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. And this was like the fear of the Lord. They were seeing that God is real, following him is real. And just a few verses later, it says, and even more believers were being added. So again, we get people saying they're drunk. The word of God is preached, and people become followers. Stop preaching the word of God. We can't but preach the word of God. The word is preached, and more people become followers. We have people lying and God doing incredible works, and more people become followers. And now we get here in chapter 6, where it's like, hey, you're not even taking care of your own people well. But we're going to see great things come from it. And foreshadowing to next week, we're going to see persecution happen in the church. And in those that know chapter 6 or just looking ahead, you know that the stoning of Stephen happens in just a few verses after what we're about to read. Stephen, who's mentioned here as one that is full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, that same Stephen, in just a few verses, is going to be persecuted and put to death. But awesome things come from that. Awesome things come from that. This is not the first time, again, the church has been, a complaint has been brought against, but we're going to see it leads to its growth. So, the apostle said, it is not good for us to stop preaching, to wait on tables. Therefore, let's pick out 7 men to serve. But not just 7 guys, not just the 7 cool guys, not the 7 guys that have big businesses or lots of money or the best haircut. No, we want 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit, and of wisdom. The requirement for deacons, those that serve, it's they have to have a good reputation. They have to be full of the Spirit of God, and they have to be wise. In 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, we see the same thing. The scripture, in that passage, let me flip there. As Paul is giving instructions to to Timothy in the early church, he says these are the qualifications for a deacon. For a deacon's likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them... I need to get a bigger fonted Bible. Okay. And let them also be tested first, and let them serve as deacons, and if they prove themselves as blameless. And their wives must likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be a husband of one wife, managing their children and their own household well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves, and also great confidence in faith that is in Jesus Christ. Again, so we're seeing like this the same pattern through Scripture. If somebody's going to be a deacon, a servant leader in the church, they have to have a good reputation. They have to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And so the church, the disciples who were assembled, they thought that sounded good. And so they were given a task. The apostles gave them this task, they delegated this task, and they went off and they did it. And then they brought forth these seven men. And it doesn't seem like this was a rush thing. It wasn't just like, let's randomly pick these seven guys. Because part of it, when I was researching and doing some study, these seven guys, these are all Greek names, which, the Hellenists, we need our Greek-speaking believers. So they chose seven Greek men, probably best to care for the Greek widows and those that were in need. The church discerned the right men to fit this description. And then, after they found these men, they set them before the apostles, and they prayed for them, and they laid their hands on them. Again, it wasn't just like a rush thing, like, okay, you guys go and do it. There was an intentionality. There was a purposefulness behind it. They chose these men, they brought them before the assembly, and they commissioned them. They laid their hands on them and prayed on them. We see in Scripture when people are commissioned, when they're set up for an important role, often there's this anointing, there's this commissioning. In the kings in the Old Testament, we would see like they'd be anointed with oil at times, this symbolism of God's Spirit being poured out on them. Here, we're seeing that their hands are being laid on them, this affirming of and commissioning of these men for this responsibility. Whenever we have taken in a new elder here at Mountain City Church, a similar process happens. A similar commissioning happens. When I was ordained a couple years ago, there were men from this church and men that had been influential in my life. They came up and they too laid hands on me as a symbol of we affirm what is happening here. Now, that is what's happening here. But maybe you're asking yourself, what's up with these apostles? Like, hey, it is not good for us to go wait on tables. Like, some people, that may like rub them the wrong way. Like, what do you mean? You're called to be a servant leader, apostles. You're supposed to lead by example. You're not willing to wait on tables? What's the deal? Who do you guys think you are? Well, what were they prioritizing? They said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. They're not saying this isn't important. They're not saying no. Now we see in Scripture that caring for the needs of others is important. Back in Acts chapter 2, 44 through 47, we saw that people were giving up. They were giving up money. They were selling land. They were giving their money and laying it at the apostles' feet for them to delegate as each had need. So we see that there's like caring for others. That's important. But this preaching of the word of God, like this is what we were called to do. Christ told us back in Acts 1:8, it says, But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and it will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the apostles, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They are taking the word of God, they are preaching it, and it is going out, and they are serving as they go. But now these Hellenists, this complaint that comes up, it almost seems like, hey, we could almost say, you're preaching too much. You got to take care of these people here. And they said, and so the apostles wisely are like, we're not going to stop preaching, but we are going to meet that need. And so then they delegated this important task of caring for those among them. They kept their priorities correct. We are going to preach the word of God because God told us to go and preach the word of God, that we are going to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. We are going to keep doing that. And we will also help set up others to serve the needs. See, if we think about it, like when the 12 were in that room, it would have been really easy for everyone to cook a meal for them. Or it would have been really easy for everyone to just care for each other. But now as the church continues to grow and grow and grow and grow, as the body gets bigger and bigger and bigger, we have to adjust to meet these needs in a way that is God's way, that prioritizes the things of God in God's way. My family has gotten big over the years. I have 5 brothers, and they're all married, and then they have kids. And so, just when my immediate family gets together for Christmas, there's 28 of us, okay? And now we have cousins and aunts and uncles, and so when we all tried to get in Grandma's house, we don't fit. You don't get up from a seat because you won't get it again, okay? Families have changed. It was much easier when there were, 14 of us at Grandma's house. But now that there are 40 of us at my grandmother's house, it doesn't work. So we go to my cousin's house because she has a bigger room. So families, if whenever you get married, you realize, things change. I'm not just one person. And then you have children. You're like, things change. I didn't know a baby needed so many things in a car. Things change. The church, it is growing and growing and growing. And it's, these things are important. And so they delegated the task and they pray with much prayer. They sought to do the things of the Lord. And this is what's cool. This is what's cool. They laid their hands on them. They prayed over them. And then look what happened in verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Again, the number of disciples, the number of followers of Jesus keeps growing. And a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. Now we're seeing it's not just Jews, it's not just those that were at Pentecost, not just those in Jerusalem, but even the priests, those that are in the temple where they were told to stop preaching about Jesus and they continue to preach about Jesus. Now even the priests, now even the religious leaders, their hearts are changing and they are becoming followers of Jesus. See, God continued to bless the ministry that was happening. And Jews and priests, they are all becoming followers of Jesus. And I think as we are looking at this and as we're looking at the book of Acts as a whole and as we continue to look at the book of Acts, when the church properly prioritizes the things of God in God's way and God's time, God is glorified. As I keep looking at this passage and as I keep looking at the book of Acts with the youth group, when the church properly prioritizes the things of God in God's way and in God's time, God is glorified. The church is glorified. The church grows and the kingdom of God expands. See, Jesus said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as the youth group, as we kept going through the Acts, it was like, geographically, where are we? Jerusalem. Geographically, where are we? Jerusalem. Well, next week or maybe 2 weeks. I can't remember where this falls exactly in the series. But after the stoning of Stephen, we see that the church, whoosh, expands, begins to expand to the ends of the earth. Foreshadowing. Whoever, Joe, sorry, I'm taking your messages. When we prioritize the things of God in God's way and in God's time, God is glorified. The request here, we need to care for the widows. It was a good request. It was a God-honoring request. It is something that God said that we should be doing, the church should be doing. And so it fell in line with the mission. There's sometimes ministry is talked about, there's a good book called The Trellis and the Vine. Some of you maybe have read it, but it talks about, as we are thinking about ministry, if the word of God, if the gospel is the vine, you need to build a trellis to help that vine grow correctly. Because if your vine is growing over here, but you build a giant trellis and all the things that you want over here, like, that does the vine no good. You built this giant trellis to yourself, and the vine is over here struggling. Or if you're building it and you see the vine is going one direction, okay, we need to support and fix that and support that. And that's what happened here. Hey, there's a group of believers who are not being cared for, who are not being ministered to, who are being neglected. Then we need to prioritize those things. Stop what we're doing, get the resources, get the things together, and do that. It'd been really different if, like, if this group came up and said, "Hey, apostles, we need a camel ministry right now because there's a lot of camels coming into Jerusalem. We should minister to people with camels." I don't necessarily see the direct biblical connection there, but what they were asking for was a good thing. They weren't asking to create something that wasn't needed. Yes, I'm being a little facetious there. And those that have been around old churches, you probably know the camel ministry or something like that. They're like, why are we doing this? Now, Paul, as he's telling us about, you know, doing things God's way, when the church properly prioritizes the things of God in God's way and in God's time, God is glorified. Paul, in Ephesians, he gives us a number of beautiful pictures, a number of beautiful ways that we see this properly prioritizing the things of God. Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, it says, here's some of the priorities that God gave in God's way. And God, he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried away about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning or craftiness and deceitful schemes. Like, God gave some structure here. God gave structure. He said, here's the people, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, and shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Like, the church, like, these are things that are important. The preaching of the word of God, equipping the saints, equipping the disciples. Hey, we're going to appoint people full of spirit, full of wisdom, of good reputation, to set them over these things. And we will equip you to do the things you need. If the apostles in Acts had the finances and were able to give the resources, those seven men would have thrived in their job. They probably did thrive in their job of caring for those who were being neglected and forgotten. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, they were called to teach and build up the body, to equip the saints. I know the elders here at Mountain City, like, that is what they desire to do. They desire to build up and equip the members, the body of the church. From the teaching on a Sunday morning that happens out here, to the teaching that happens with the children in the back, to the equipping groups on Sunday nights, the youth group on Sunday nights, the discipleship groups that meet throughout the week, through other events that happen. It is the desire to build up and equip you all. Because our five elders, our six team leaders who are deacons, but we just call them something slightly different here, like, they cannot do all of the work. It is impossible for them to do all the work. And so part of it is equipping others to do the work, modeling these things, and setting the proper priorities in God's way, in God's time, so that He may be glorified. Now, the church, again, we saw that the church grows when we do these things. Look what Paul continues in verse 15 and 16 in chapter 4. He says, and then rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and fitted together by every joint with which it is equipped, and when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is like self-perpetuation here. When each part is working properly. When I read that, I highlighted it, underlined it, circled it in my Bible. Like, I've read this passage, but reading it in light of Acts 6, reading it in light of some of these other things, it was, that word properly just jumped out at me. If you own a house, you know that there are times when things don't work properly. The sink doesn't drain, the door doesn't shut, there's a draft. If you have a car, you notice it more. My window on my one car is taped right now because the motor won't roll the window all the way up. But it's okay. And you notice it. But when it works properly, you're like, ah, this is good. My car in high school, I called her Gladys because I was glad when she got us where we needed to be. But when the body, when the church works together properly, as God intended it to do, it builds itself up in love. And it is all fitted and joined together. It is focused, prioritizing the things of God, not the things of man, because otherwise we build a monument to ourselves and the word of God is not there. It's a vapor, it's a smoke, it's a bumper sticker, if anything. And it's through the church that God intends His message to go out to the ends of the earth. In Ephesians 3, just a few chapters before, Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authority in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, the body, we are the ones that God has commissioned to take this message to the ends of the earth through His power, through His Spirit, but in His way. The church is this manifold wisdom. I love in that chapter, it's like, this, it's a mystery. Like, this doesn't make sense to man, that why would God do it? But this is the mystery, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God may be made known to the world. God will be seen for His greatness through using the church to proclaim His word to the ends of the earth. Now, I did some numbers. These are rough estimates based on patterns and averages and also some numbers that were given. But ways that we have like taken the word out this last year, or opportunities that we've taken the word out this year, or as Blake said in his prayer, as we've bumped into people. So go ahead and throw that up there, the first one. Yeah. So these are just some of the ways, you know, in this last year, we have our clothing closets. Our clothing closet, which happens the first Thursday of the month. It's downstairs. It's an awesome opportunity where people from the community come in. They get clothes. Some donate clothes. We prepare a meal, share a meal with them. That's something that we've been doing for many years down here. This summer, we helped with the summer lunchbox program. We were a hosting location for the meal pickup. Our family summer nights down at the Housing Authority, our block party in August, the Crossing, our college ministry that happens, so that's out but also in, and then just like 2 weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago now, 2 weeks ago now, we had the opportunity to go down and serve at Bell Elementary to do an event down there with them. So as I did a little math and averages, go ahead and throw the next one up. This comes to around, we had around 700 people come to the clothing closet last year. These are averages, okay. Summer lunchbox, about 400 from the children, the parents, and all the volunteers. Our family summer nights, we had around 90 guests. The block party, we had around 200 guests come out to that one. Thanks, Charity, for organizing that and helping that. The crossing ministry, if you figure up, like we have about 25 to 30 students, and so if you think about in a year, that's around 700 interactions that we get to bump into. Plus, anyone that's ever picked up a free cookie or brownie down there, okay? So that number's probably bigger. And then just this last year, the number of people that filled out a guest card, just the number of people that filled them out, there were 86 visitors that came last year to Mountain City Church. These are the people that filled out a card, okay, that we know of. And some of you have stayed, and some of you have become members, and the word of God continues to increase. Okay, this is a cool one. So these are, the next number, and so then, that's around like 2,329 interactions we've had this last year. And that doesn't include the at least 1,050 children, the number of times we got to interact with your children this last year. That doesn't include the classes, the conferences, the other things that have happened here. That doesn't include the discipleship groups and the community groups and the meals we've shared. That doesn't include any of those. So now, again, I like math. So we have around 60 members at this church. So if you take 60 divided by that, that means each of you have to do about 39 interactions a year outside of a Sunday morning, just with this number. Five elders cannot do this alone. Our six team leads can't do this alone. But as we saw, when the body properly prioritizes the things of God, God is glorified when his church prioritizes the things of God in God's way, in God's time. We saw that there in Acts 6, there was a need. And that need was made known. And the apostles, the leaders, they prioritize that, okay, we are going to delegate to care for this need. We are going to care for our people in a way that is God-honoring, the way that is God-honoring and prioritizes his things. And they found people that are of good repute, that loved the Lord, that were followers of God, that were full of the Spirit and were wise. And then these seven men, they were prayed over, they were commissioned, and they were sent out with a specific task. And the word of God continued to expand and grow, and more people became followers of Jesus. And even priests became followers of Jesus Christ. It is awesome when the church prioritizes the things of God in God's way. God is glorified, and this mystery, this manifold wisdom of God is made known to the world. The gospel has been going out from this church for many, many, many years. And it is incredible to see the new faces that have come to join us here. It is incredible to see the children that are growing up in this church and are hearing the word of God preached. It is incredible to be able to have the privilege and opportunity to bump into so many people outside and inside of this building. It is incredible to hear the stories of those who go and serve, whether it's on a missions trip or with the disaster relief trailer, that serve in incredible ways. You know, just this morning, the amount of people in the text message that there was a need because of sickness, and like who can help, and how quickly people are willing to step up and serve. There are so many incredible people here that are willing to serve and jump in incredible ways, and so many that do it behind the scenes that you don't even know, that I don't even know. So as we are looking at this passage, and as we are looking at the year ahead, will we properly prioritize the things of God in God's way and in God's time, so that we can glorify Him and His church, building it up in love and making the manifold wisdom of God known to the ends of the earth. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, I thank you that you have revealed this mystery of your gospel to us. God, that as we have seen that when your word is preached, when your people faithfully proclaim it, that it changes lives. Father, help us to be obedient to the calling that you have laid before us, using our gifts, using the measure of faith that you have given us. Father, help us to discern what you are calling us to do in this next year. Help us to discern what you're calling us to do right now, whether that is repenting of things that we need to cast off, or whether that is responding to things that you are calling us to step out in faith and do. Father, help us to properly prioritize you. Help us to do your things in your way, in your time, so that you will be glorified. Thank you that you've sent the Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us to discern, help us to see you rightly. And may we glorify you in all that we do here. We pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Mountain City Church. To learn more about our church, visit our website at mountainCTY.church. Thanks again, and may the Lord bless your week.